Manticapitribius tacti basindo pia evacha. Patitanam bhavanebio vaishnavebio namo namaha. Vaishnavebio namo namaha. So, Hare Krishna devotees, how nice to be with you again and again. And this is now going to be the concluding part, as Shankishore Prabhu said, of our Krishna in Vrindavan and the joy of devotion, but particularly it's Krishna in Vrindavan seminar. So we'll talk a little bit about Krishna in Vrindavan. The question sheet, I assume, is already hopefully circulating amongst you. If not, it will be. Feel free to write down any question you like. Do we already have a stock of questions? We don't? We finished. We finished all the questions. Are there unanswered questions? Okay, so you feel free. If any question comes to mind, you write it down on the questions board, and then you pass it on to the next person. And in maybe half an hour or so, 20 minutes, we'll have a look at those questions. So Krishna in Vrindavan. What a wonderful subject. Yesterday we spent a couple of hours discussing Krishna in Vrindavan, different of his pastimes and special things which he did in Vrindavan, and some of the philosophy behind it. You know, that Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, the kingdom of God, it is much nicer than Johannesburg. It is nicer than Lenasia. Yes. Even if it gets hot, but it's a very pleasant type of heat. And no stressing at all. In fact, there's a verse in Brahma Samhita. Very wonderful verse. Sri Akanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo Druma Bhumis Chintamani Gana Mai Toyam Amritam Kataganam Nacham Gamanam Api Vansi Priyasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tadasvadyam Apicha. This is a verse spoken by Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita. Maybe you have that book, I don't know. It's quite an amazing book. Spoken by Lord Brahma, who of course is the creator or engineer of the universe. Yes. Come in, ladies. There's plenty of seats. Just crying out for someone to sit on them. So, okay, so we quoted that verse then. It's Brahma Samhita, it's around verse 56 or so. You can look it up if you like. And particularly that verse is describing Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, the kingdom of God, and certain particular extraordinary characteristics of it. In fact, three in particular, at least, which are mentioned there. There are so many, there's an unlimited number. But three prominent ones Lord Brahma mentions, the characteristics of the kingdom of God, which distinguish the kingdom of God from planet Earth. So, one is, in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, the kingdom of God, the place of Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma says, every step is a dance. Every step. even if you're just walking down the street to the shop to buy anything, then Lord Brahma says that when you're walking in the kingdom of God, he says every step is a dance. Just like we were walking today, weren't we? That was a good bit of exercise for us city people. And some of the devotees were dancing some of the time. Not all the devotees were dancing all the time. Some were dancing some of the time. Why? Why not all dancing all of the time? Well, the problem is, we have these material bodies, they get tired, and the weather was, you know, a little hot, you could say, quite warm. And so it's a little difficult to just dance and dance. Our procession went for more than 2 hours. So to dance for 2 hours, particularly if you're like me, if you're well over 60 in the heat, that's a challenge. But in Goloka Vrindavan, in the kingdom of God, every step is a dance. Not just a dance, but our great Acharya Jiva Goswami, he describes that their dancing, well, their walking, as Brahma says, every step is a dance. So, but their walking is not just like our dancing, it is like our best dancing. Who is the best dancer here in the tent? Let's see. I can tell you who's the best dancer. You want to hear who's the best dancer sitting in this tent? Her name is Bhaktin Yogini, and there she is, sitting humbly on the ground in the front. But to my knowledge, she is the best dancer here. But in Goloka Vrindavan, in the kingdom of God, every step is like our best dancing. When Yogini is spinning and just practically flying, that's like the ordinary walking in the kingdom of God. Just the ordinary walking down the street to the shop to buy a loaf of bread, which we don't really recommend actually, but anyway, you get the idea. So Jiva Goswami, he raises this point. Their ordinary walking is like our best dancing. So he raises the question, if that's their walking, what is it like when they dance? Their ordinary walking is like our best dancing. So what is it like when they dance? And what is their best dancing like? And Jiva Goswami makes the comment that we have no experience of such a thing. Therefore, we cannot even picture it. We cannot imagine. Maybe it's like Yogini multiplied by 20. You just can't grasp it. It's another dimension of idea, and our minds don't really have access to that dimension. Then Brahma says, so every step is a dance. Then he says that every word is a song. Every word, when they're just talking, ordinary talk. How are you? what is happening? How is your family? You know, this very ordinary talk. It's like our best singing. They're ordinary talk. Who is the best singer sitting in this tent? Let me see. Well, okay. I could make a couple of suggestions. How's this? Best singers here, I would say either Lokanath Prabhu, who's in the corner there, or Mahaprabhu, who's just sitting back there. Mahaprabhu is a soul kirtan singer from the heart. So, okay. But the thing is, what Brahma says is that their ordinary talking, hello, how are you, Kim Cha, Apki Tabiat Casey Hay, and, you know, Kunjane, and all these types of things, their ordinary talk, everyday stuff, is like our best singing when Lokanath or Mahaprabhu's are just warbling. Can I say warbling? Like nightingales, angelic singing. It's like they're ordinary talking. How are you? You know, what's the time? Do you know what the time is? This is just ordinary talk. So, Jiva Goswami then, he raises the question, if their ordinary talk is like our best singing, then what is their singing like? And what is their best singing like? And again, we have no experience of such things. We only have experience, well, you know, of people in this world singing about this and that. We have no experience of that singing in the spiritual world. And therefore, we cannot really picture it or imagine it or think maybe it's like this or that. It's just in another dimension which we do not really have access to. Then Jiva Goswami says that, so, walking like dancing, talking like singing, their water tastes like our best nectar. Who is the best cook here? Now that's a question. That's a real... I've got an answer for you. It's Mother Jayaradhika. Yeah, that's
can you say the best in South Africa?
Okay. Yeah, why not best in South Africa?
Yes.
What about best in the world? Best in the three worlds. Anyway, she's a real classic. And she can do a nectar drink, which will just make you cry. You will just cry. And your hair will stand on end. And you'll become stunned. But Lord Brahma says, it's okay for the timing. Lord Brahma says, their ordinary water is like Mother Jayaradhika's best nectar. So, the obvious question, if you remember the other questions that were raised, the obvious question raised by Jiva Goswami is that if their ordinary water is like our best nectar, what is their nectar like? And what is their best nectar like? And again, We have no experience of such things. And therefore, we certainly cannot grasp it. We can't even sort of touch it with our minds, conceive of it. It's just in another realm which we just don't have access to at all. That is the kingdom of God. And Jiva Goswami, just to conclude this little bit, Jiva Goswami, his great teacher, very, very great teacher, he then raises another point, sort of following on from those points. Listen to this. He says that because people in general are not able to conceive of the kingdom of God and grasp and picture it and really get some feeling for it, because it's just, you know, their minds just become blank, and when I was a child, we had on television Doctor Who. Have you heard of Doctor Who? And there was a little computer on wheels. I forget his name. And he could figure out anything, but some things he couldn't. And when he couldn't figure it out, you know what he said? It does not compute. It does not compute. So if we try to grasp what is really the kingdom of God like, then it just does not compute. We cannot deal with it. And Jiva Goswami, in pursuance of that point, he makes another point, and please do listen to this, that because we cannot conceive of it, it's just like meaningless to us. He says, therefore, very few people want to go there. Because it's a blank. It's just, you know, nothing. They can't picture it. Their minds cannot enter the ideas. And he says, therefore, very few people want to go there. They would rather go to Mauritius or Derbs, Chats, you know, or somewhere like Umshlanga, and they think, oh, Umshlanga, we will go to Umshlanga, we will go to the Drakensberg, oh, how wonderful. But compared to the kingdom of God, these places are just like, with all respect and just, you know, it really is a fact, they're just like junk heaps. They're just like rubbish dumps. Just rubbish dumps compared to the kingdom of God. So that is Vrindavan. That is where Krishna stays. That is his place. That is the kingdom of God. And that is the home of God. And that is our home. That is where we belong. We do not belong in this material world. And that's why, when we're in this material world, people's minds just jump around here and there. And, you know, I want something better, and what about this, and something new, the newest song, the newest clothes, and the newest whatever. People have great difficulty focusing, because in this world, material things do not really give us much taste. We don't really get much of an experience from these things, and therefore we don't get much satisfaction. And as a result of that, our minds are looking here, there, somewhere else. Yeah. So that there, the kingdom of God, that is Krishna's home. That is our home. That is where we belong. And we, as Ram Govinda Maharaj was saying towards the end of his session here just a little while ago, if we render devotional service nicely, if we practice nicely, and if we pray to the Lord for mercy, then at the end of this life, we can return to the kingdom of God. And even for the rest of this life, what to speak of at the end of this life, but even for the rest of this life, effectively, we can be in the kingdom of God. Effectively, in the company of the Supreme Lord, face to face, even in Lanesha, and engaged in interactions, personal, direct interactions with the Lord, even here in this material world. And what to speak of at the end of this life when we can leave the material world behind and go directly to the kingdom of God. So, but Krishna appears here from time to time in this world. And when Krishna appears, he performs pastimes from some of the same pastimes he performs in the kingdom of God. He performs here just to sort of whet our appetites, just to give us a little insight, a little idea, a little introduction, what it is like, what it can be like, what it should be like for us to go to the kingdom of God. So Krishna does some of these things when he comes here to this world. Very, very wonderful pastimes which enliven the hearts of the devotees and attract the hearts and minds of the devotees, and even the people in general get a little bit of an attraction that this sounds interesting, maybe it'd be nice to go there. Let me tell you one such pastime, Krishna in Vrindavan. Yes. You know, Krishna steals the butter. I think all or most probably all of you are aware of that. Yesterday we explained why he steals the butter. It's not that he's just a butter fanatic, like you might be, like my father, my late father. He was an ice cream fanatic. You could feed him ice cream any time, 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. He was ready. Some people, you know, in Durban, particularly chats, we have a lot of people, very nice people, please don't take this the wrong way. We have a lot of nice people who come to our temple and they're involved with us. They love, you know what they love eating? Beans curry. Oh yes. Beans and rice. You know, sugar beans and rice. Wow. And we also have some devotees who love pizza. Who love pizza. You could wake them up at 1 o'clock in the morning and put a pizza in front of them and it'll be gone. No matter how tired they are. And you might think, well, pizza, what's pizza? It's an Italian concoction, you know, some speculation from Europe. and it's not Vedic, it's not traditional, it's not Krishna conscious, it's just some Western speculation. But devotees, I don't know if you're aware, actually pizza has its roots in Vedic culture. Did you know that? Pizza has its roots in Vedic culture. So the next time you see a pizza, don't turn up your nose at it and say it's not Vedic, not Indian or something. Because you know what a pizza really is. Do you know what it is? Let me tell you, devotees. A pizza is actually a self-realized roti. It's a self-realized roti. So anyway, we were talking about Krishna and the butter. It's not just that Krishna likes to eat butter, as we might like to eat something, our favorite. But there's so much love and devotion invested in that butter from the hearts of those who have made the butter. And Krishna, he wants to taste that love. So, but as part of the pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna steals the butter. If you know Hindi, then you would know Krishna is known as Makhan Chor, the butter thief. And Krishna, he is the head in Vrindavan. He is the head of the Makhan Mafia. Oh yes, they're heavy people. Don't get on the wrong side of them. And Mother Yashoda is always very concerned. Krishna's stealing butter. He's going to get a bad reputation as a thief. And he's going to grow up bad. Now he's stealing butter. Later, when he's an adult, he will steal motor cars or buffalo carts, perhaps, or chariots. So we have to correct him and stop him. So Krishna goes and steals the butter, and sometimes the ladies in the houses where Krishna steals the butter, sometimes they catch him. Sometimes they catch him and they march him over to his mother. And they tell his mother, while they're holding on to him, they tell his mother, look at this, we caught him red-handed stealing the butter again. Well, and I want you to chastise him. So Mother Yashoda starts wagging her finger and speaking strongly to Krishna. And the lady who captured him is watching Krishna. But as she's watching Krishna, she sees his sweet, beautiful little eyes. And she's watching as poor little Krishna. No, I can't. I was young once, but it was a long time ago. Yeah, with his head down. He's being chastised. And he's looking at his mom. Yeah, that sort of thing. And this lady's watching all of this. And it's so sweet. And Krishna is just so sweet. And her anger just melts away and just dissolves and it's gone. And there's Mother Yashoda, yes, you rascal, I'll tie you up, and things like this, threatening him, I may beat you with a stick. And the lady you know, after a minute or so of this, the lady who's watching Krishna's little face, and maybe Krishna's crying a little bit. Her heart has just melted completely. And the lady says to Mother Yashoda, "Don't speak to him like that." And Mother Yashoda is shocked, "But you caught him stealing. You told me I must chastise him." And the lady says, "No, he's a nice boy. Don't you speak to him like that." And Mother Yashoda says, "Well, all right then, but I will make sure he does not bother you in the future. I will make sure he does not come to your house." And the lady says, "No, don't you say that. Let him, he can come to my house anytime." You see, Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, when Krishna was good, he was good. And when Krishna was bad, he was good. This is absolute. 1 + 1 = 1. 1 - 1 = 1. In the spiritual world, everything is absolute. So when Krishna's good, he's good. And when Krishna's bad, he's good. This is life in Vrindavan. One time there was one lady who was particularly annoyed with Krishna for stealing the butter. So one morning she ambushed him and just grabbed him by the wrist before he knew what had happened and just dragged him off to their house, to Mother Yashoda's house, pulling Krishna behind her as she headed towards Mother Yashoda's house. Unknown to her, Krishna transformed himself into the same form as her son, that lady who had caught her. But she didn't notice, because she's going this way and she's pulling Krishna behind her. She didn't see. And she got to Mother Yashoda's house and knocked on the door. And Mother Yashoda opened the door. And the lady said, "Look, I caught him again, the rascal." And Mother Yashoda's looking. It's that lady's son, apparently. "Yeah, I caught him. I want you to chastise him. I want to see it." And Mother Yashoda said, "I think there's been some mistake. Could you just have a look and see?" And the lady looked around, and who was it? It was her own son. And she couldn't believe it. How did this happen? It was Krishna. I caught Krishna. I know I caught Krishna. But now it's my son. How could it be? And she just became bewildered, and she apologized. And off she went with her son. It was actually Krishna. And on the way back home, Krishna transformed himself back into Krishna and pulled on the lady's hand. I said, "Hey, Mataji." And Mataji looked. "Oh, what? It's Krishna again. What is going on here? Oh my God, it's too much." And Krishna, he shook his finger at her. And he said, "You listen to me, Mataji. You do that again. You try to get me into trouble again. I'll teach you a lesson. You know what I'll do? I will transform myself into your husband. And then you'll really make a fool of yourself." So these are some pastimes in Vrindavan. Not long ago, well actually it was a bit long ago, it was in May, So, you know, 6 months ago. It was Akshaya Tritiya. Have you heard of that? It's a special day. Tritiya means the third day of the moon. Akshaya Tritiya. It's the Chandan Yatra day. It's in our calendar. If you look in our calendar, you'll see Akshaya Tritiya. It is a day upon which people begin things, like that people open businesses on Akshaya Tritiya. Marriages on Akshaya Tritiya in India, Bharat May. You cannot find a wedding venue available in the country. You just cannot, because it's the day for beginning things. So it's the main day in the year for weddings. Akshaya Tritiya. So listen to this, devotees. On Akshaya Tritiya one time, in Nandagram, in Vrindavan, Krishna walked into the kitchen and there was Mother Yashoda cooking some snacky things. Snacky, fried, like pakora, samosa, kachori, paturi, dokla. I hope I'm not disturbing any of you. How about pakori? Have you ever met a pakori on a dark night? Oh, your life will not be the same again. So there's Mother Yashoda frying up all these snacky types of prasad. And normally when Mother Yashoda is cooking, she's cooking for Krishna. So Krishna, assuming of course that this was the case, Krishna said, Mata, Mata, is this for me? Is this for me? And Mother Yashoda said, no, 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 no. This is for your father, Nanda Maharaj. He is going on a long journey today. And this is his, what do you call it in Afrikaans? Padkos. This is his padkos. Food for the road. And Krishna was surprised. Really? My father's going on a long journey? He's going to leave Vrindavan? What's going on? And in came Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna said, Pita. Pita is Sanskrit for father. Pita, you going on a journey, Pita? You going journey? Yeah? This is how we say it in Chatsworth. You going journey, Pita? Long journey. Why are you going, Pita? Why are you going? And Nanda Maharaj said, today is Akshaya Tritiya. It is very auspicious day. On this day, I am going on a journey to Prayag, where there's the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati. And Krishna said, Pita, why are you going Prayag, Pita? Why are you going Prayag? And Nanda Maharaj said, because all year I have been performing material activity. I have incurred so much karma just looking after my family and providing food and so on. I've incurred so much karma. So I'm going there to Prayag that sacred place, and I will bathe in the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna and Saraswati, and I will become free from all that karma, and then I will come home refreshed. So Krishna was not very happy that Nanda Maharaj was leaving Vrindavan, because he is the king of Vrindavan. You see, it was getting a bit hot, right? The authorities put in a request for a little, for things to cool down. I think this is Krishna kindly reciprocating. So yeah, Krishna was not happy. Nanda Maharaj was going to leave Vrindavan. But what could he do? Nanda Maharaj had his mind made up. So Nanda Maharaj took his bag of padkos in one hand. With the other hand, he took the hand, one hand of Krishna, and he said, listen, come with me. We will go down the hill to and take bath in Pavan Sarova. It's a beautiful lake just at the base of the hill at Nandagram. So we will take bath in Pavan Sarova, and then I will begin my journey. So they're walking down the hill. Nanda Maharaj has his bag of padkos in one hand. In the other hand, he's holding Krishna's hand. They're going down the hill. Krishna pulled on his hand. Peter, give me one samosa, Peter. Just one samosa. Nanda Maharaj looked at his bag of padkos. He said, no, you know, I cannot afford to give you even one samosa, because I've got a long journey. And if I run out of padkos, you know what I'll have to do? I will have to buy Simba chips on the road to survive. And I don't want to do that. So I can't even give you one samosa. Also, the rain drives the people into the tents. So that's a good feature too. You can keep raining, it's okay. So anyway, they got down to Pavan Sarova. And they're just about to dive in to Pavan Sarova, this beautiful lake, when on the other side, they saw this big, handsome man, very big, very handsome, very opulently dressed, and lots of expensive jewelry, solid gold and gemstones, on the other side of Pavan Sarova. And this man, he started roaring with laughter, and he dived in Pavan Sarova, and he came out, he rolled in the dust, roaring with laughter, and he dived in Pavan Sarova again. And Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, to his father, Krishna said, Peter, who that man, Peter? Who that man, Peter? And Nanda Maharaj said, I don't know. Let's go over and talk to him. So they went over. And Nanda Maharaj asked this big, handsome, opulently dressed man. He asked him, My dear sir, what is your good name, please? What is your name? And you know what the man said? The man said, my name is Prayag. And Nanda Maharaj did a double take. They said, what? Your name? What do you mean your name is Prayag? What sort of name is that? And Prayag said, I am the personality of that sacred place, where there's the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna and Saraswati. I am the personality of Prayag. And Nanda Maharaj said, but what are you doing here in Vrindavan? Why are you bathing in Pavan Sarovar? And Prayag said, you know, all year people come and bathe in my waters, and they leave all their karma on me. So once a year, on Akshaya Tritiya, I come to Vrindavan, and I come to Pavan Sarovar, and I bathe in Pavan Sarovar, and I get free from all the karma left on me by all these pilgrims and people. And then I go back feeling refreshed. And Nanda Maharaj said, oh, I see. And then Prayag pointed around Pavan Sarovar. And he said, look, you see over that side, in the corner, you see the lady with the blue sari? You see her? You see the lady with the blue sari? She is Mother Ganges. And you see the man sitting next to her in white? You see him? He is Bhadrik Ashram. And you see, let's see, you see the lady sitting by the doorway there with the pink and yellow and green. You see her? Right. She is the river Kaveri. And on top of that, shoot, you see the lady here in green with the pink, is it a garland or whatever, around the neck? You see her? You see her? She is the river Alakananda. And Prayag pointed out, there were so many of these people all around Pavan Sarovar. Very handsome people, opulently dressed. There was dozens of them. And Prayag said, you see, these are the personalities of all the sacred places. All of them. We all come here on Akshaya Tritiya. And we all take bath in Pavan Sarovar. And we all become free from all the karma left on us by all the pilgrims and the people who visit us and bathe in our waters. We get free from all those reactions, and then we go back feeling refreshed. And Nanda Maharaj again Nanda Maharaj said, oh, I see. All right. And he took Krishna by the hand and he said, come with me, Krishna. And Krishna acted like he didn't know what was going on. Krishna said, Peter, you're going to leave for Prayag now, Peter? You're going now? You're going to leave now? Yes? And Nanda Maharaj said, no. And Krishna said, what you gonna do, Peter? What you gonna do now? Nanda Maharaj said, I'm gonna bathe in Pavan Sarovar, and then I'm going back to Nandagram. And Krishna said, Peter, Peter, why are you not going to pray out, Peter? Why are you not going? And Nanda Maharaj said, I changed my mind. So they bathed the Pavan Sarovar, and they went up the hill, back to Nandagram. They're on the way, and you know what Krishna did? He pulled on Nanda Maharaj's hand. He said, Peter, give me one samosa, Peter. Just one samosa, only one, just one, only one. Samosa, only. Please. Nanda Maharaj looked at his bag of padkos, and he said, you know, I don't need this any longer. He just gave it all to Krishna. So you see, this is a nice story. Pastime of Krishna's from Vrindavan. And we can learn a lot from it. We learn Vrindavan is the topmost holy place. We learn Krishna, who is the deity of Vrindavan. Krishna is the topmost deity. We learn devotional service to Krishna is the topmost activity, religious activity, or any activity. We learn the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the topmost of all mantras, of all sound vibrations. We learn Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the scriptures of Krishna consciousness. These are the topmost of all scriptures. And we learn that the devotees of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna are the topmost of all people. Everything about Krishna consciousness is the best. So this is something that we can learn from this pastime. And there's so many pastimes. Let me do a time check. Okay. Let me tell you one more story. Are you ready? Or are you bored? Are you falling asleep? No. Okay. Let me tell you another story. This is like a fun story. Krishna has his cowherd boyfriends. Plus there's another friend who's with them all the time, who is not a cowherd boy. He is a Brahmin, priest. He's from just a different sort of grouping of society, different type of person altogether. But somehow, he is just deeply involved with Krishna and the cowherd boys, and he's always with them. And he is a character. So, in the Darshana area where Radharani lived when Krishna was living in Nandagram, in that Darshana area there's a number of hills, they're almost mountains, small mountains, with different paths moving, you know, around in between these different hills, and it's actually a very beautiful area. And Radharani and the gopis would move around between the hills, through the passes, here and there. Move around carrying dairy products, which they would then try to sell. And Krishna and the cowherd boys and Madhumangal would sometimes ambush the gopis and steal their dairy products, break some of the pots, try to ridicule them, and things like that. So one day, Krishna and the cowherd boys were at the top end of what is called Sankarikor. Sankarikor means narrow gully. At the bottom end is the village of Chitradevi, another one of Radharani's friends. So Radharani and the gopis came up through this narrow gully with pots of yogurt on their heads. And who should they meet when they got to the top? Krishna and the cowherd boys of Madhumanga. And Krishna threw a rock at the pot on Radharani's head, knocked it off, and it smashed on the rocks, and all the yogurt went everywhere. And you could still see the marks of the yogurt left on that rock. And then Krishna and the cowherd boys attacked the gopis and stole some of their yogurt and broke some of their pots and so on. And then they ridiculed the gopis. "Look at you, you're just stupid girls." You know what young boys think? They think, you know, what a girl, what use are girls? They're useless. They can't run fast. They can't fight. If you fight with them, they start crying. You know, what use are girls? So like this Madhu Mangal, Krishna started chastising the gopis that you couldn't protect yourselves. Ha! Girls! So then Radharani and her friends, they went back down through the gully to Chitradevi's village, gathered reinforcements, hundreds of gopis with hundreds of pots of yogurt on their heads, and came up through Sankarikor again. And again at the top there's Krishna and the cowherd boys, and they saw, here come the gopis. It's very narrow. You can only come one person at a time. So they couldn't see there's hundreds of these girls. They saw, oh, here they come again. We'll have more fun at their expense. So the gopis came and came and continued coming and came more and then more. And then there were hundreds. They surrounded Krishna and the cowherd boys, and you know what they did? They started pouring their yogurt over Krishna and the cowherd boys. Wow. And five of them encircled Madhu Mangal, because he had been poking his tongue out at them and doing rude things, like, you know, these rude type things before. So four or five of them encircled him and started pouring yogurt all over him. And he started crying. "Poor boy. How did I get mixed up with you low-class Vaishyas? I should have stayed with my people, the Brahmins." And they poured more yogurt. And he started really crying. And he said, "Listen, you stop it. Otherwise you're going to become guilty of the sin of drowning a Brahmin." But the gopis just laughed and poured more yogurt over him. So it was a victory for the gopis. They wiped out Krishna and the cowherd boys. And they went back down through the gully to the village of Chitradevi to celebrate their victory. But Krishna and the cowherd boys, you can't hold them, keep them down for long. They're a pretty powerful group. They wanted revenge. So they came down through the gully also. And they located Chitradevi's father's butter storehouse and raided it. And they're having this feast of butter and other dairy products. and just having the time of their lives. When Radharani and Chitradevi walked past outside and saw what was going on and locked them in from the outside. So now Krishna, the cowherd boys and Madhu Mangal are trapped. What to do? But up at the top of one of the walls was a little window. So one by one they climbed up and somehow popped through the window one by one. Except the last one was Madhu Mangal. You know, these cowherd boys, they're pretty athletic, but not Madhu Mangal. He is a prasadam specialist, particularly laddus. He has at least 25 laddus every meal, minimum. That's minimum. So he is quite sort of, as we say in Durban, healthy. So, he was the last one. He climbed up. He got his head through. Okay, we're doing all right. He got his shoulders through. Okay, we're getting there. Came to his chest. It's a little tight, but he got it through. Then it came to his middle section. Sorry, he couldn't get through. And he pulled and pulled somehow to get himself through, but he couldn't and he got stuck. He got stuck in the window, head and shoulders and chest out, and legs and, you know, lower part and his waist and so on, in the butter storehouse. So then Radharani, Chitradevi and the gopis came to see, you know, we've caught the cowherd boys and Krishna, let's make fun of them. They opened the door, there was no one there. They'd all escaped. What a shame. But then they looked up in the window. Ah, what is that? That round thing with two appendages sticking out and flapping. What is this? Ah, this is Madhu Mangal's rear end. Ah, so they got sticks and they took turns whacking him on his backside. And poor Madhu Mangal, every time they whacked him, his head, which was outside, his head, he called out, Krishna! Whack! Help! Whack! Krishna! Whack! Help! But Krishna was gone. It was too late. So the gopis, after a while, they grabbed his legs, pulled him back in, tied him up as a prisoner of war. And they took him to a nearby kund. Very nice place. And Madhu Mangal, he has, among other things, a big seeker. See? This is a fairly big seeker. They tied a string to his seeker, threw the string over a branch of a tree, and took it in turns to pull on his seeker. And every time they pulled, he called out, Krishna, help! Krishna! And Krishna came. And Krishna chastised the gopis. Krishna said, listen, this is a Brahmin. You have committed great Brahmin aparad. This is terrible. You girls are in big trouble. Krishna said, you know what's going to happen to you? Each one of you, you are going to end up as the 99th wife of some cranky old man. That's going to happen to you. because of your Brahman aparad, your offenses to this great Brahman. And the gopis, they were so concerned. What can we do? How can we get free from this? And Krishna said, you have to ask him what he wants. And so Madhu Mangal said, yes, it's big Brahman aparad, extremely big, because I'm very big Brahman. And you want to make up for it? All right. I want 1 million laddus. They raced home. They got 1 million laddus. And they came and sat him on a throne and fed him 1 million laddus. And after about 5,000, he started feeling a bit better. He was getting over it. And after about 10,000, he was feeling pretty good. And when Madhu Mangal feels good, he offers blessings, benedictions. So he asked one gopi as she was feeding him laddus, what would you like? And the one gopi said, can I have Krishna as my husband? Let it be. And then another gopi fed him some more laddus. And what would you like? Can I have Krishna as my husband also? Yes, tatastu. That means let it be. So, all the gopis, so he got his 1 million laddus. All the gopis got his infallible blessing to get Krishna as their husband. And as they say, they all lived happily ever after. Yes. So there's a little Krishna pastime for you. Hare Krishna. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai.
Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai.
Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Go Premanande. Thank you very much. What to do now? Final kirtan. Are you sure? I'm looking at the stage up there. Oh, Jagannath Ki. Okay, final kirtan in the Jagannath tent, in the temple tent. See you there in 1 minute.
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving us this wonderful seminar. I think he deserves another round of applause, please.